Call Show. We're back. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee reunited again. As always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Now, Sam McKee, I'm going to give the weather report today. It's chilly this morning. I don't know about where you're at. You're not in the wonderful GTA that you often reside in. I said parts unknown. You put it out there. You're in Quebec. It looks like a little outside of Montreal. How you doing on what for me is a frigid Saturday morning?
Just as frigid here in the Belle Provence, Gunner. Very, very cold. Felt like maybe 11 or 12 degrees. Like, there's a real chill in the air here. So, yeah, second last weekend of the year, buddy, of summer. And then it's, you know, we're back into real life. So, I'm happy to be speaking from you from my car in Saint-Ours, Quebec. Do I sound good?
You sound awesome. You sound, I imagine, just as good as I did when I joined you from my car earlier this season. The car cast, to borrow something from 32 Thoughts. We've been stealing it a little bit this year. So McKee, I mean, I want to recap the year that was. This is our last show of the year. I want to thank the folks at Subaru who have been along. Want to thank all of you on the text line, 590-590, as always. Please include your name and location. You guys have made the year a lot more fun. I know you got out to a nice fancy track, and I know we played around together recently. I didn't know if you wanted to mention either of those things. I know you were really excited to talk about the round you played last week.
Well, I mean, that was unbelievable. I played at Coppenwood, which was, when was that? Was that 2 weeks ago now? 2.5 weeks ago now? The summer's just going by so fast, I can't keep track of things. But that was an unbelievable round of golf that I got to play with. And a huge shout out to all the people out there that helped that happen. And then we got to go out to Copetown Woods, which is was that our first time out there together this year?
That was the first time I'd been there this year. So yeah, definitely our first time.
Yeah. I went there once before with my old man, and that was the day of the crazy storm.
That nasty storm that ripped through.
So when was that?
I can't remember.
That was probably in May, maybe June or May, that big storm that came through where it was like that damaging storm, which was nuts. And we were on the fifth hole there, and, you know, it's a big sky out there. You can see the thing coming in. And I just looked at my old man. I was like, I think we should probably get in the cart and go. And then the carts were like, made a noise and said, seek shelter immediately. And we're like, yep, we made the right choice. And it got nuts out there for a little while. So, Barry Forth out at the Copetown Woods hosted us there the other day, and we had an absolute blast. Told us how little rain they've been getting. Seems like every other part of that area of Ontario has been getting dumped, and they haven't got any. So for the little amount of rain they've got, the place is in unbelievable shape. It's pure. So if you're looking for great value in the GTA, you got to head out there.
Yeah, and I will say, if you're looking, and again, this isn't something that everyone has the ability to do, but if you're looking to up your game, I was 3 off of my career low round, and I think a big part of that was riding in the cart with the guy who owns the course. It just makes you dial things in a little bit. So I echo all of that. Had a great time out there. And I'll say this, if you're ever on a golf course with Sam McKee and he says, Mother Nature's winning, we got to go, just listen to him. There was a round last summer at Braebend, another one of our favorites. And you want to talk about a place where you could see it coming in from every direction. That is definitely there. And I was being a little sour. You and our good buddy Primer said, let's get out of here. We're right by the parking lot. It's about to monsoon. And I was a little sour about it. And 9 seconds after I sat in my car, the sky absolutely opened up and started annihilating us with rain. So I'll give credit where credit is due. You know, you're wrong about many things in this world, maybe the state of professional golf, but you are absolutely right about when weather is going to wreak havoc on our round, because you don't quit easy. So if you're quitting at all, it's got to be right.
So, Gunnar, you mentioned professional golf there. Explain what the PGA Tour has done to me like I'm 12 years old, like I'm 10 years old, because I've read these articles. It seems convoluted. The top players have to play at the top chosen tournaments, right? So explain this to me like I'm 12.
Okay. If you're really good, you got to go to all the ones that matter. You got to go to the Memorial. You got to go to the Arnold Palmer, all these elevated events.
And it's the top 20.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then the other part of it is that I think this affects a lot more guys, but obviously it affects the guys we don't care about as much. They also implemented effectively a minimum salary. So my understanding is if you're somebody who has your tour card, you will be you will earn a minimum of $500,000. Now, this is much like the live contracts. That's not you just get it and then your winnings are on top of that. Your winnings come out of that as you creep closer and closer to that. But it's to allow guys to have the certainty of I'm going to make X number of dollars a year. They've also added in some things for missed cuts, travel expenses, that kind of thing to help the lower end of player on tour. But in terms of the higher end guys, they're just going to be made to play in all of these marquee events. That is the kind of week in, week out biggest change we will see in the game.
So that's pretty interesting. Like I think there's a world in which this big, I mean, maybe not for the viewer, and you can argue that, mm-hmm. but for the world of the actual professional golfer, for the world of the way these guys live are playing in, it seems like what the Live Tour did really, really helped a lot of these guys' bottom lines, no?
Oh, I feel all the way as I feel about Liv, no doubt about it. But there is no argument to be made that them coming in and disrupting everything the way I hate it, has helped the pockets of just about every guy on tour. There are certain guys who, like Rory McIlroy's bottom line, has not really been impacted too much by this yet. Going forward, it will be. But for the guys who are not clinging on, but who are just out there on tour, they're not picking up wins. You know, they're happy with the odd top 10 from time to time. It absolutely helps them. So, yeah, I mean, is Phil Mickelson getting bottles of wine bought for him? I don't think he needs to have anything bought for him because the Saudis gave him all the money in the world. But, yeah, there's definitely a world where he's helping.
Gunner. Sorry? That money might already be gone.
Yeah, great point. That's a great can confirm with no sources at all. I think let me put it this way. College football season starts today. If it's not gone, it's gone by 4:05 p.m. Eastern time today.
So I wanted to quickly, before I get out of here, I wanted to talk to you about the Tour Championship this weekend.
Yeah.
A couple things. God, East Lake is so sick. That course.
Oh, love
the
it.
You think of the opening tee shot there is just so breathtaking with the big over-the-water carry. Mm-hmm. And then that 18th hole, I guess it comes down to, you know, just sort of memories. And
yep.
you're watching this certain course for so long and all the things that you associate with it. But I just love that finishing hole there. And you think of how it's a great reachable par 5 and the shot that Xander Schauffele hit in there yesterday to get himself to 17 under and contention was unbelievable. So I just love East Lake. The second thing is, I have had my thoughts on Xander Schauffele over the years.
You have?
I really hope he doesn't take this away from Scottie Scheffler. Like, this is Scottie Scheffler's year here. What's the Xander Schauffele moment this year? You know, like, is Xander Schauffele, like, oh, yeah, he's collected points by being top 10 in all these tournaments. Yeah, he's played fine. He's played great. How many wins does Xander Schauffele have this year? This has been Scottie Scheffler's year all year. The guy's been dominant. He's easily the player of the year. I'm saying this also because he is my boy. I want him to win. But, like, I want this year to be crowned the Scottie Scheffler year. And what better way for him than to secure the Tour Championship at East Lake? So don't let Xander Schauffele steal this away from Scottie, okay? Because there's no – other than this being a win for Xander, this has been the year of Scottie. So there. Is that fair?
No, it's not. Because I didn't want to jump in until I had the figures in front of me. Now, one of these was on the Euro Tour, but it's at the Scottish Open, which is a big boy event. He has three wins this year.
Yeah,
he won the – now, one of those is
three
the
– three wins?
One of those is the team event with Patrick Cantlay. So you want to poo-poo that one. That is fine. I will hear
that.
What
did they shoot, 48 under? They were playing at Scarlet Woods for that one, eh?
They were 29 under, and they beat Sam Burns and Billy Horschel by two.
Okay, they count that as a win on tour?
Yeah. That is considered an official tour win, yes. Here's the other thing. He has won the Travelers. That's a real event. He won that by two. And then he won the Genesis Scottish Open, which is as real event as it comes.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
a big one. I forgot about that one.
Can you give him two and a
half?
He's one total.
Big win.
Yeah, one biggie.
I'll take
Travelers is a real tournament. Like, it is not one of the big boy events, but, like, there would have been Finaus and Zalatorises and probably Scottie Scheffler in that field that week. So I'm not gonna poo-poo that one. But yeah, so
okay.
he does have 3 wins this year, but I will tick it down to 2 because I'm with you. I don't know that we need to count the team event. And part of this is just that I do have a soft spot for Xander, and I can't wholly explain it. And he's won the Tour Championship before, so I don't know. I wouldn't be mad. And here's the other thing. He's the only guy making it interesting this weekend. If we didn't have Xander, where would we be? We'd just be sitting there, and you'd be complaining about how boring it was that Scottie Scheffler was going to run to a win.
I will never complain about watching Scottie Scheffler play good golf and be front running. I love Scottie Scheffler. I never complained during the Masters when he was running away with it either, guys. So
we might have to go to the tape on that one. I think there might have been some complaining in the chat. I'm not going to dig it up.
There was no complaining.
Okay. No.
You know why? Because I had money on him and Cam Smith.
Oh, that's true.
I was not complaining about that at all.
I had money on only Cam Smith, you can imagine my complaining that day.
You look at the year that he had this year with Scottie Scheffler, and, you know, he won the Masters, he won the Arnold Palmer, won the Waste Management. Did he win the match play, too? Did he win that, too? Or did he lose in the final?
That I can't recall. I'm going to pull it up, but I don't
recall. I
think
he
played well
in that one. He had a huge year this year. So it's just, to me, this is the year of Scottie Scheffler, and what better crowning jewel than to have him win the big tournament at Eastlake. Give him the Tour Championship, too. Don't steal this away from him, Xander.
Hey,
your team event.
You nailed it. 4 events, and they're all biggies. Obviously, the Masters, he did win the match play, beating Kisner in the final there. Beat the Arnold Palmer, or won the Arnold Palmer by 1 stroke over Tyrrell Hatton, Billy Horschel, and Victor Hovland. And then he beat Cantlay in a playoff at the Waste Management. So, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Xander Schauffele is a player of the year over Scheffler. Scheffler has had the better season. But, you know, it wouldn't be some also-ran sneaking in here and stealing it from your boy with a square jaw and a steel stomach. Anything else from you, McKee, before we get John McCarthy in here? I've loved doing the show with you.
Yeah,
I'm sad it's over.
That's what I was going to say. I just love doing the show with you, Gunner. I just a real thrill to take over for legends, you know. Scott Metcalf, we got the chance to go out and play golf with him at Copetown Woods, which, you know, we try to get out once a year at least with him. Unbelievable guy. And for him to be so gracious with us taking over, I'm just really, really blessed to do this show with you, Gunner. I absolutely love doing this show. I'm going to miss it every weekend. So I'm really, really happy that we got this opportunity, and I can't wait for bigger and better things next year. And just a quick shout out to Brooke Henderson at the CP Canadian Open. She tied for 30, 5 under. God, you just got to play the best golf of your life every weekend to have a chance on the LPGA Tour. And she's not playing her best, but she's out there being a great ambassador. She made the cut, so it's going to be a great weekend for her at the Hunt Club. So good for you, Brooke, and I'm thinking of you. I hope you go out there and have a couple good days for the adoring crowd.
Well said. Sammy McKee, I echo all that. It's been an absolute blast. You're rid of us on the golf show, but we will be complaining about the Leafs everywhere and anywhere very, very soon.
Oh, yes.
Sammy McKee, there he goes. I have loved doing the golf show with him. Going to bring in our pal, both of our pals, John McCarthy, national golf writer for Post Media. Going to bring him on in just a second here. You know, I have John on the line right now. We don't have to wait at all. Johnny McCarthy, John, how you been? How you been, bud?
I've been great. How are you?
Doing well. Last golf show of the year, so I really just wanted to touch base with some of my favorites. I got Adam Stanley coming on later, and, you know, he's going to cover us off on everything going on in Ottawa for the CP Women's Open. But, you know, I needed to bring in a journalist. McKee just asked me to explain what's going on with the PGA Tour and the new schedule they're going to have. I feel like you can explain it a touch better than me. John, what has LIV done to the PGA Tour in terms of the schedule next year? There's going to be these elevated events. The top 20 players are expected, if not having to play in them. Do you think that this is going to create a more exciting tour, or at the very least, a handful of marquee events outside of the majors?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny what LIV Golf has done. The end result almost inevitably seemed like the PGA Tour would sort of copy what was happening and steal the idea for their own. But the funny thing is it took so long for it to happen, but then when it happened so quick. So what we have is 8 elevated events that have sort of already been announced, and there's 4 more yet to be announced that are going to have purses, you know, around $20 million. there hasn't been much talk that the fields will be limited like a live event. So we're sort of expecting more of a normal field. But then, so you have the 8 elevated events already announced. You have 4 more. Then you have the 4 majors plus the Players' Championship. And so all the top 20 players, as they define them, are going to play in those events plus 3 more. So you're going to have 20 events every year that the top players in the world are playing. 18 of them, I guess, 18 of them are going to have all of the top 20 players playing together. So it is good for the PGA Tour, because the one thing that, we've been sort of griping about for years is we don't have enough best-on-best competition in the PGA Tour. And that was sort of, Liv's whole marketing idea. We're going to get the best-on-the-best every week. Well, they haven't ended up with that. They've ended up with, the heels of the PGA Tour and sort of a pre-retirement group of players right now. But the PGA Tour has moved fast. They've listened to the ideas of the top players. And so I think, what we're going to have is better for the viewer for sure.
Yeah, all this talk of best on best, it's just got me wistful for hockey and the Olympics with NHLers. But that is a completely different show. We'll stay focused on golf here. Looking at the way that this is going to change, I think the most important part about this for me is my biggest concern with having the LIV players split off and will they be able to come back and play in the PGA Tour was my biggest concern was golf becoming tennis, where nobody who is not locked in, week out, cares about anything outside of the majors. And I feel like this kind of guards against that. I am going to watch every single event. The FedEx Cup playoffs may be ending this weekend, but guess what? When there's a tournament next week or 2 weeks from now, I'm still going to be watching that. But I think that a move like this, elevating these events, yes, I always cared about the Arnold Palmer and events like that, but I feel like what this does is it allows golf to have a little more gravitas outside of just the four majors.
For sure, and I think kind of where LIV Golf it didn't help itself was this feeling that they could hire away some of the top talent and instantly have a general golf fan or general sports fans be interested in the product. And that, at the end of the day, that's going to be perhaps the problem for LIV Golf, is what makes it an engaging product for not the golf sickos, because we're probably going to watch everything, but for the guys that sit down on Sunday and they like to see Bay Hill because they remember Arnie. They like to watch Memorial because they like to see Jack there. So those sorts of fans are going to benefit, because you're going to have the best players in the world at these events on the Sundays when they're on the couch in their familiar spaces. So, in the end, if right now you've got sort of LIV Golf trying to troll on Twitter that, they've stolen our idea, but sort of, we have, Instagram Spaces the stories. They stole from the other, everyone steals from everyone. And whoever has sort of the baked-in audience is the one it's going to benefit. So the PGA Tour had to react, and they have reacted. It's almost surprising that they managed to pull this off so quickly. But I think it is going to be good for the fan. It's going to be good for the players, too.
When we look back on the year in golf, obviously, the biggest thing from this year will be the Civil War, whatever you want to call it, LIV versus the PGA Tour. That is going to be the biggest prevailing storyline. But if I just ask you to keep it to, not between the lines, because golf doesn't have lines, but if I just ask you for a moment this year that kind of defined golf, I think maybe it's just recency bias at play. I still go back to that putt Cam Smith hit on 17 to kind of lock up the open there. Is there something else that jumps out to you? I don't know, maybe it was Scheffler's coronation at the Masters. Is there kind of one moment from this year in terms of the game itself, not all the squabbling we've had, because that's what's going to stand out, but what kind of jumps out to you? What's going to be the moment of this golf season, if you will?
Yeah, for me, one of the moments has been how fast a player, sort of, Scott, we have Scheffler, we have Cam Smith, they've turned into almost juggernauts on tour overnight, these guys. And that is what golf is now. With the tour is so much younger than it has been. You have, Cam Smith has his big coming out party at the Players, and then he goes on and does it again at the British. You have Scottie Scheffler, who has a chance to win. If he wins this week, that's $32 million he's going to win, and that's in the old format. So I don't know if we can say that the stars aren't winning enough money when before they get this influx of money, you have possibly $32 million going to the best player. But just watching these players that, like Matt Fitzpatrick, he wins the U.S. Open. You have Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler. So these are all players that 4 or 5 years ago, we probably wouldn't know who they are, the general golf fan, and they're now the best players in the world. And I think that is sort of the beauty of golf right now, is how competitive players can be in their 20s. And I think that's also, again, what we don't want to go back, keep going back to LIV Golf, but that's what kind of guards against any concern that some of these players are leaving. Because, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, there's going to be new Scotty Schefflers, new Cam Smiths, new Matt Fitzpatrick. And it's sort of how exciting golf can be and how quickly players can get to the top now with, I guess, how competitive, you know, junior and college golf is. And it's just exciting to see these kind of athletes come on stage.
It's funny, I'm listening to you rip off all those names, and I'm going, you know, whatever happened to that Colin Morikawa? This bum hasn't won anything in a minute. And it's like, he won a major last year. He won a major the year before that. And it just kind of goes to show how quickly you can go from being at the abs. And look, Colin Morikawa is playing tremendous golf right now. He's in the top 30 for the Tour Championship. He's had another tremendous season. But it is just amazing how kind of quickly you can go from being, I mean, think about after he won that Open Championship. I wasn't saying it, but I'm sitting here doing shows with McKee, and he's like, I don't know, 4 majors? Could he get there? And it's just already, he is already part of the conversation, but no longer at the absolute peak of it. Like, it's amazing how, like you said, how quickly a guy like Morikawa can, and I want to be clear about this, he is still a top 10 player in the world, but how somebody like that, even with one season without a win, can kind of get pushed down the pecking order because of all that young talent you mentioned.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I guess, and one thing I was thinking about in 2022 is I didn't expect I'd need to, you know, become an investigative journalist and have a law degree to cover golf, but that's where we are.
That is absolutely where we are. I talked to a lawyer on the show 2 weeks ago, and that's when I knew it was getting way, way too serious for me. Johnny, absolutely loved getting to chat with you. Thanks so much for jumping on. I've enjoyed getting to see you out at the events this year, and I'm sure I'll continue to see you and enjoy the winter if I don't talk before then.
Great. Thanks. Looking forward to it next year.
There he goes. John McCarthy, national golf writer, Post Media. Thoroughly enjoy his work there. Make sure to check it out. Anytime there's a big story in the world of golf, he has got it covered. Cover to cover. He's an editor there, so he gets to decide. He gets to decide how often or how much coverage there is in golf. It helps to be pulling the strings a little bit there. Obviously, the Tour Championship is going on this week. This Tour Championship update is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. So obviously, the Tour Championship started with the staggered scoring to reflect the FedEx Cup regular season and playoff standing. Scotty Scheffler started with a big lead. It has shrunk a little bit. He is at 19 under. That's good for a two-shot lead on Xander Schauffele, the guy me and McKee were talking about a little earlier on. John Rahm sits alone in third place. He is at 13 under. That has him 6 shots off the lead. Patrick Cantlay and Sung J.M. are tied for fourth. They are at 12 under. Well, Joachim Niemann, Rory McIlroy, Max Homa, Tom Hoagie, Cameron Young round out the top 10. This Tour Championship update was brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. The CP Women's Open is on the go in Ottawa. Going to talk to another one of our favorites, Adam Stanley. He joins me next here on the final golf show of the season on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Smart takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Golf Show. As always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Final show of the season. I gotta bring on one of our favorites, golf content beast, and having a home game this week, Adam Stanley, the Stanimal. How you doing, buddy?
I am having a home game this week. It's a treat. It's also kind of funny because I'm used to covering golf events on the road, but this week I'm down the street 15 minutes, come home, and you know what? It's still garbage day on Wednesday, and it's still a dishwasher that needs to be emptied, and etc. So anyways, it's kind of funny, but it is nice. It's been a great week. The weather's supposed to be awesome the next 2 days after a lot of rain yesterday, and already some really exciting moments here in Ottawa.
Yeah, the obviously the sorry to do this to you. The big headliner of homecomings this week is Brooke Henderson, but you were right behind her there.
1A.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who's to say who's the 1A? Who's to say? It's me and it's you, just to clarify there. Brooke Henderson, obviously, anytime she is back in this country, let alone, you know, so close to home for her, it's a big story. The fact that she's fresh off another major win. She did the Golf Town Tour there a while ago as well. She's been on fire this summer. Awesome to see her get this love at home. I know you've been following her around a bunch. What have the crowds looked like for Henderson at the Hunt Club?
Yeah, I mean, the crowds have been wild. Like, even we can go back to Wednesday, and that was the Pro-Am day. And quite frankly, crowds for Pro-Ams on the LPGA Tour are just non-existent. And that was not the case this week. Jessica Korda, of course, multi-time LPGA Tour winner, one of the best in the world, posted a video on her Instagram account that showed the crowds following Brooke. And she's like, I've never seen Wednesday Pro-Am crowds that look like this. And it's kind of rolled in nicely through the last couple of days as well. I mean, Thursday for the opening round, she teed off on number 10 and crowds were 5-6 deep. And it was wild. And then she goes out and makes 3 birdies in a row and the crowd got even deeper. So yesterday, obviously a bit of a snafu in terms of crowd size because of the weather. But kudos to everybody who came out with the umbrellas and the rain gear and stuff like that and kind of stuck around. You know, they've seen some very solid golf from Brooke Henderson these first 2 days, but nothing really spectacular. And the bummer is that there have been some extremely low scores already hung at the Ottawa Hunt Club, and Brooke's going to need a pair of them to be in the mix to have a chance to win this trophy. But to be frank, nobody really cares. They're just happy to see her in the flesh.
You know, this is something McKee and I have talked about a lot, and obviously you pay a little closer attention than both of us do. It is mind-boggling how, I don't know, maybe this feels like too strong a word. I don't think it is. How perfect you have to be to win on the LPGA Tour any given week. You know, look, guys on the PGA Tour, they got to have their A game to get it done. I completely understand that. But it just, with how low the scoring is every week, it feels like you have to be at, there is no winning with your B game. I know Henderson did it at the major, but it just seems like you have to be so perfect to be in contention every week. Like, I'm looking at the woman who's leading things, 64-65 to open the tournament. Yeah. And all she has to show for that is a 2-shot lead. It's just, it is amazing how talented all these women are on tour.
Yeah. And it's a great point because, you know, Brooke said it herself, like, everyone goes deep on Thursday, Friday, and then you just have to hang on and try to do it yourself at some point as well. I mean, Lindy Duncan, I just tweeted about her. She's American. She's never won on tour before. She came back out this morning. She was on nobody's radar, even last night as we left the golf course, and she hung a 29 on her back nine and shot 62. And that tied the course record from Paula Rado from the day before, a 9 under par 62. And, you know, for the men who are listening to this radio program, I mean, they're playing off 65, 6600 yards, which is what the average male is usually out there shooting 85, 95, 105 on. And here we've got these women shooting in the low 60s. And honestly, man, like, it's nothing. So it's some pretty impressive golf so far. Scoreable conditions, obviously, with the golf course being very soft. And your point is exactly right. You got to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, you got to be 95% perfect. Because even Brooke has shot 69, 68. Hanging in there, you know, I don't think she's missed more than 5 fairways, more than 5 greens total in 36 holes, and she's 8 shots back heading into the weekend. So, you got to be perfect, and this is a prime example of that on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, I'm just going to rip off the scores of everybody in kind of the top 10 and what they did in round 2. 65, 62, 63, 64, ooh, 69, terrible. 64, 64, 66, 67, 63. You have to bring your absolute best to compete at any given point in time. Back to Brooke for a second. You know, this is something we talked about when she was doing the Golf Town Tour. I believe that happened after the major win. Obviously, the public-facing aspects of this is not something she's ever been overly comfortable. I think this week is probably the biggest spotlight she has ever had faced on that, where it is so present while she is actively competing. How do you think she's handling all that pressure of being the standard bearer for this event and effectively, you know, the mascot for Canadian golf? And I know there's a ton of other great stories, but all the eyeballs are on Brooke. How do you think she's handled that this week?
I think she's done pretty well. I mean, she's certainly more comfortable in being Brooke Henderson, if that makes sense as a description, than she probably ever has been in the past. I mean, in 2017, when she was here before, yeah, she had won a major, but she was 18, 19. People were still saying like, oh, there's our Brooke from our hometown, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. But now it's kind of like everybody wants a piece, and she's managed it okay. She's managed it well. She's still under par. She still made the cut. We didn't have any late drama like we did in 2017 when she had to make a birdie on her final hole just to find the weekend. But there's no denying, like, this has been a lot. Like, she's the face of the golf tournament. She's the face of golf in this country. Her face is quite literally on every hotel key this week. It's on the newspaper ads. It's on the billboards. And 99.99% of the people on the property this week, maybe save for Naren Aun's family, wants Brooke Henderson to make birdie on every single hole and hit a perfect shot every single time that she addresses the ball. So no matter how smiley you are, no matter how happy you may seem, that's a lot. And it's a lot for an individual who's only 24 years old and is from a town of 6,000 people and you know, basically hangs out with their parents every single week on tour, and her sister and her stay in the same room every single week. So this is a learning experience, I would say, for her, for sure. But she can file this one away and just kind of apply it to the CP Women's Open moving forward. But thankfully, she's won this tournament already. Yep. There's not that added pressure of, Brooke, when are you going to win this thing? Why haven't you won this tournament yet? Come on. She doesn't have that. So thankfully, that's in the rear view. And she's smiled for everyone. She signed every autograph. She's posed for every selfie. She's shaken hands with everyone from Canadian Pacific, from Golf Canada, from the Golf Channel, from, you know, us media schmucks in the tent. She's doing pretty good. And now hopefully that it's the weekend and all she has to do is play 36 holes of good golf. She can play 36 holes of good golf.
There's a lot of media schmucks, myself included, but not you. You're looking resplendent in your level wear. You're standing next to Kyle Bukauskas. No media schmuck for you. I won't hear it. I will say everybody's hair looks worse when they're doing hits with Kyle all week, and there's nothing that can be done about that. So that's the only downside of working with Kyle all week long. And I've enjoyed
the
stuff.
I got a haircut on Tuesday night knowing that I was going to be standing next to Kyle from Wednesday onwards, and his, like, mine's tight, you know. I'm doing my best, but his is like elegant. There's a lot happening there, and all you can do is, you know, just say kudos, job well done.
It's a great coif, you know. Yours is much more like a tightly mown fairway, and his is like just the perfect wispy rough. It looks great, and it's flowing in the wind. I've thoroughly enjoyed all the stuff you guys
Thanks,
have given
Ben.
Us this week.
No, it's been great.
One more for you. You know, I know I want to focus a ton on the CP Women's Open. We got to look back on the year that was in golf here. And maybe my favorite day of the year in golf was walking into the media center Sunday morning at the RBC Canadian Open to the flurry of activity because Brooke Henderson was about to win. It was incredible to see you specifically charging into action, getting ready to do all your work. Obviously, the CP Women's Open, an amazing weekend for golf in our country. The RBC Canadian Open, the same exact thing. To have Brooke winning on a day where all of the Canadian media apparatus was in one place, albeit focused on something else, that was just a really cool day for me. I know a little less cool for you because you had to actually work instead of me just sitting there going, wow, this is neat, eh, Stanley? Can you just talk about everything that happened that day for us there?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool now, like 2 months later. It was less cool that afternoon, but I was mentally preparing myself for Corey Connors to shoot 61-59 the first two rounds of the Tour Championship, zip himself up that board, and then we having a small issue on Sunday afternoon as well, again. thankfully that didn't happen, but shout out Corey, had a fabulous season, going to play in the President's Cup in a few weeks, which should be awesome. But yeah, I mean, that Sunday, RBC Canadian Open, it was a lot, but that's kind of why, you know, I got into this profession as a whole. And I think anybody, no matter if they're, you know, an accountant at tax time or a doctor at surgery time, like if you're under the lights and you got to perform, that's why we do these things. And that was a very, very cool moment. You know, Brooke finally breaking that winless drought that she had for a couple of years, and doing it in such fine fashion in a playoff and banging a 3-wood down there to very, very close range for an eagle, just to step on Lindsay Weaver Wright's neck. You know, it was an impressive effort. And then, of course, a couple of weeks later, she goes out and wins a major again. So, you know, Brooke has had a fabulous summer stretch. And the crazy thing is about the LPGA Tour schedule is that, you know, they've got a quarter of it left. They don't finish their season until the end of November, and Brooke is second in that season-long race, the CME Globe points list, and she's got a real chance to win that thing in November, which is the richest prize in women's golf. And as we look back on the year that was, you know, that Sunday of the RBC Canadian Open week was maybe, could be, you never know, a bit of a catalyst to take her across that finish line by the time we get to November. So, yeah, she was awesome that day. She continues to be awesome. Everyone's just excited to catch a glimpse, catch a piece. And young, old, man, woman, motorcycle gang member, you know, young junior
right.
golfer.
You told
doesn't
us.
Really matter. Yeah, doesn't really matter. Everyone's just pumped. And, you know, if I can leave it on one point about Brooke and the past and the future, you know, you see somebody like Lucy Lin this week, who's 12 years old, who qualified for the CP Women's Open, who says that Brooke's her idol. Think about all the other young girls who are around that age, or 15 or 16, or the amateur Lauren Zaretsky, who made the cut this week, who says Brooke is her hero. And you think about them all and what's to come for Canadian women's golf in the next decade or decade and a half. And it's pretty darn cool. And that's all Brooke, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll give you one more. Monet Chun, who's in the field this week, Canadian amateur. She won the Canadian Women's Amateur last month, finished runner-up at the U.S. Women's Am last week. And I had her on the show last week, and she was saying she's probably going to spend more time watching golf than she's going to play it. And Brooke Henderson is a big person she wanted to see. So even those who are right there scratching the surface, yeah. They all want a piece of Brooke. Adam, it's been so much fun. We did not get to tee it this year, but you're a busy man. But I enjoyed chatting with you and getting to see you as a accredited member of the media for the first time ever. Thoroughly enjoyed my experience this year. Thanks so much for always being a good friend of the golf show.
Inside those ropes, baby. No, this was awesome. Thanks to you guys for everything you guys have done. Can't wait to chat next year.
There he goes, Adam Stanley, golf content beast. Had to get everything tightened up because he was going to work with Kyle Bukauskas. They've been doing a great job giving reports to Sportsnet Central there. They'll continue to do so as the weekend goes along. As you're mentioning with Adam, Brooke's got her work cut out for her. I would not, you know, we do talk gambling from time to time here. I would not be laying any money on Brooke Henderson to have a comeback for the ages. She's off at 10:15 this morning. She has got a ton of ground to make up. Tied for 32nd right now. She is at 5 under. Of course, the lead at 13 under. So a ton of work to do there. A ton of golfers between Henderson and the top of the leaderboard. But if anybody has it in them to go super low, if anybody will have the crowd behind them, it will be Brooke Henderson there. And I'm just so happy she's getting her flowers. You guys have heard me talk about it on the show ad nauseum. You've heard me talk about it on other shows ad nauseum. No one gives Brooke her due. I feel like she's finally getting it this year. The fact that it's a homecoming effectively for her in Ottawa there, it would be so sweet if she would be able to get it done. I wouldn't hold your breath on that, though. But like Stanley mentioned, she has already done the deed. She has won the tournament already. It was incredible. They had to push up tee times because there was a flurries of snow coming in Regina, and she was basically wearing snow pants, and she got it done. I don't think it gets more Canadian than that, but obviously she would love the win at home. And here's the thing. Ottawa Hunt Club is going to host some CP Women's Opens going forward. I can all but guarantee that. So Brooke Henderson, and she's not going anywhere. So she's going to have a ton of chances. The other thing that I thought was interesting, I completely forgot to ask Stanley about this, and we talked to the tournament director about this last week, is the bringing of the rink hole to the CP Women's Open for the first time. Obviously, this is something that's been at the RBC Canadian Open for, I believe, 4 years now. The first iteration of this was back at Glen Abbey. I want to say the year Dustin Johnson won, so that would probably, oh man, it's a while ago. I want to say that was 2017. That was the first iteration of the rink hole, but I will say they've done a much better job. That was rink hole. There was water involved, so you didn't have the big board surrounding everything. The hole they had it at St. George's this year, I believe it was 16, longish par three there. The fact that it's right at the back end of the tournament at the Hunt Club this week, they've made the rink hole the 17th hole. So these girls are going to have to hit some big, big pressure shots with a lot going on around them. And look, I don't think golf needs to be a rock concert, but I think it's nice when we have these moments that are a little bit organic as well. Henderson, another question I meant to ask Stanley. Henderson was wearing a Sens jersey with 67 on the back and Henderson there. I just wondered what the significance of that was, and I'd be really hurt if she was tweaking my Leafs with the 67. But as a lot of people like to remind me from time to time, it's not always about me. Switching gears to the PGA Tour, it's the Tour Championship this week. I've been going back and forth on the format of how we do things with the Tour Championship now. The idea that someone is going to start at 10 under, that's exactly what Scheffler did this week. He started it with a two-shot lead on Cantlay. He still has a two-shot lead. Cantlay's now seven back. It's Xander Schauffele who is two back of the lead. The way I always think about this tournament is I cannot stand it on Thursday and Friday. It's really frustrating to turn on golf and a guy who hasn't hit a shot is sitting at 10 under. But now that we're into the throes of the tournament, okay, do I love that it's 19 under for Scheffler instead of 9? No, I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't love that. But now we're just in a golf tournament. Guy's a two-shot lead heading into the weekend. It is kind of fitting that these are the two guys who end up 1-2 in that tournament standings right now in Scheffler and Schauffele, because McKee laid it out. He didn't like to hear it when I had the answer of, you know, Xander Schauffele's actually won some tournaments this year. And I won't give him too much credit for the team event, because that's a little, what are we doing here? But he still won two. Travelers, that's a real big boy event. And then he won the Scottish Open, which is as big boy as it gets, right before the Open Championship there. And I gotta be honest, I wouldn't have pegged Schauffele as a guy that would really thrive in Lynx golf. I just don't think of him as that kind of player. So kudos to him for his ability to do that. I also mentioned earlier when talking about that Schauffele's a guy who has won the Tour Championship before. And it's so funny, the things we remember, what jumps out in our mind. And I remember Schauffele had, this was either on the 71st or the 72nd hole of the tournament. So he's on 17 or 18, and he's got a mid-iron in, you know, a fairly standard approach shot. But it's nails time, you know. He's got to hit a good approach here to give himself a birdie look or make sure he makes par, whatever the scenario was. And he's getting set up, and, you know, the crowd's got that little quiet murmur. And then all of a sudden, a baby just started crying right as Schauffele addressed the ball. And I just remember him turning around and just having a little chuckle. And, I mean, hey, everybody deals with things differently in life. I would have been steaming mad. So good on Xander Schauffele that he was able to keep it together. And, hey, went on to win the Tour Championship that year. We'll see what he does this weekend, if that's going to be a charge he's able to make. I like his chances. I like his game. The thing I keep going back to about Scheffler is that he is one now in big spots, in tight spots. But I always go back to the comment he had after he won the Masters about he was crying in his kitchen because he didn't think he could do it and he didn't think he'd be able to get it done. And then he just never really got pushed that day. And it's just so funny to think what would have happened if he would have been pushed, if Cam Smith would have pushed him. And hey, Cam Smith has his major now. So who knows? But it's just it's very interesting. One of those sliding doors. What if? Who knows what would have happened if Scheffler would have been pushed there? Those two are really the only guys I'm looking at. You know, not to say John Rahm can't get hot and make it happen. He's closed more than six shot gaps heading into a weekend before. But it's just with this much talent at the championship, it does feel like Rahm is either going to have to go nuclear. Now he went 63 yesterday. So did Schauffele. So there's nothing saying Rahm can't rip off another round like that again. But it's just such a tough ask. It feels like he's going to have to be around that 64. Or lower the rest of the way if he wants to be in the mix there, because I just can't see Schauffele not post or sorry Scheffler and Schauffele for that matter not posting at least something of two or three under one, if not both of those days. So Rahm's just got a lot of work made out for him. The lone Canadian to make it so far to Eastlake, Corey Connors, not the week he would want thus far. Did bounce back in a big way yesterday. He was 74, so that's three over on the first day. He goes four under yesterday with a 66. He is no longer bringing up the rear of that tournament, but he is still well back, sitting alone in 26, and he is at one under, so that has him 18 shots back of Schauffele. Wouldn't hold your breath on Connors making a run here, but by Connors getting into this tournament, he gets invited to the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. One of my favorites every year. That is when you know golf is truly back. Like I said, you know, golf show may be over. I'm going to still be watching all these events week in and week out. I can't help myself, okay? I am who I am. I'm a golf sicko. I need it in my life. But I feel like the Tournament of Champions, get a little primetime golf in Hawaii. Always a fun time. That'll be rolling around in January, and Corey Connors with his play this season has earned his way there. One other thing I wanted to touch on that came out of all the rejigging of the PGA Tour and what's happening and where will players be going and is Cam Smith going? Is he not? We'll deal with all that as the off season comes. I'm very happy for things to get quiet after the end of the FedEx Cup season here. Have guys make their move, and then we don't have to hear about it any longer. But it's this Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy simulator golf that's going to be on Monday nights starting 2 years from now. Okay, first things first, 2 years from now. If the last 2 years has taught us anything, who knows what's going on 2 years from now? I certainly don't. But those two guys are going to be playing simulator golf with some of their buds. It'll be interesting. I pointed out yesterday when I was talking to Joe House, another golf guest on the station, that, you know, there's a show called Holy Moly that's effectively mini putt that draws millions of viewers in America every time it's on TV. So the idea that Rory and Tiger couldn't do that, if you mix in a comedian or a personality type, you know, Charles Barkley's been saying he wants to go to live. I'm sure he would love a check to do Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy simulator golf. Here's the thing, just don't, if it's irking you, if it's irritating you, kind of like it is me, just don't think about it. It's not going to matter for the world of golf. It's not for us, okay? And also, we're going to get this Netflix show at some point in time this offseason. That'll be exciting to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Thank you so much to the folks at Subaru. Have thoroughly enjoyed having them aboard as a sponsor. As always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. My co-host, Sam McKee, he popped on. He's been our producer extraordinaire all year long. Could not do it without him. And as he said, thank you to the legend, Scott Metcalf, for handing over the reins. It has been a ton of fun with the Golf Show this season. We'll be back next year, probably right before the Masters. As for me, I'm not going anywhere. I got a couple hours of Sportsnet today coming up next right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.